lovers of video game design and video game designers. This week's designer has designed a handful of games, so this is quite a short one. However, the quality of these games is absolutely incredible, and though created in the 1980s, this video game series has seriously stood the test of time. Please welcome William Tang. You've never, ever, ever in a million years heard of William Tang. But William Tang is a pretty important game designer for anybody who had a Spectrum 16K, 48K, 128K. Now, why is William Tang such a silent warrior of the video games industry? That's the big question, and I don't have the answer to that. But today I want to give you an overview on somebody who is unbelievably influential on my video game design of today. Why? Because the only games that I had when I got my ZX Spectrum were Horus games. And the Horus video game series was created in the 1980s by William Tang for a company called Beam Software. The original Horus game, Hungry Horus, was written in a kind of Pac-Man style. It was supposed to be a clone, and it was part of the ZX Spectrum flagship, if you like. You know, a little bit like how Halo was created for the Xbox. What you've got to do in Hungry Horus is you've got to gather food from around the park and move on to section and section and section whilst avoiding park guards. What is really interesting about Horus, particularly, is his design. It's unmistakable. He's a tiny little creature that looks like a blob with legs and two really massive eyes and two sort of nondescript arms. For many years, I thought that they were his ears. But the point of fact is that he couldn't be more different to Pac-Man, even though it is admitted that this is a Pac-Man clone. What you have to do in the game is you've got to collect a bell to panic the guards and render them vulnerable, like if you have power pills in Pac-Man. You could play this game on the ZX Spectrum, the Commodore 64 and the Dragon 32. Oh my god! And also, it was marketed and distributed by Sinclair themselves, and Commodore 64 and the Dragon 32 versions were by Melbourne House. So if you've ever played on the ZX Spectrum, you will know that Melbourne House is pretty synonymous. William Tang is predominantly known for ZX Spectrum related products. And Hungry Horus and Horus and the Spiders were two of the few ZX Spectrum games that were available in ROM format for use with the Interface 2. The Interface 2 actually is a peripheral that Sinclair Research had on their ZX Spectrum home computer in 1983. It's got two joystick ports and a ROM cartridge slot. But can we just for a minute talk about William Tang, because he also wrote the book Spectrum Machine Language for the Absolute Beginner in 1982. So, you know, he's a programmer. Very little is known about William Tang, which is what makes this so short, because we don't know loads about him. He doesn't have like a million accolades, but what he did do was he created some really serious and amazing games that like we can never forget. So let's just have a look at them in turn. I've already talked about Hungry Horus, but prior to that, Horus Goes Skiing. Wow, what a game. In fact, this isn't covered by the entire Horus series, though William Tang only did three games. He did Hungry Horus, Horus Goes Skiing, and Horus and the Spiders. And these three games are my most favourite three games, like, in the world ever. Like, I'm talking about more than Final Fantasy VII. More than the Elder Scrolls series, more than, gosh, what am I playing at the moment? Township. Yeah, way more. But they're not without their qualities. What is really important about this game is this was the entry point that most designers go through when they are taking that step from being a player to becoming a designer. There has to be a conduit or some kind of spark or burst of energy that makes a player suddenly go, this is simple, I can do this. I mean, William Tang is responsible for a million game designers because we learned how to code using his books and we learned how to play games playing his games. So if you're listening, William, thank you so much. But I am going to turn this a little bit around because we don't know so much about William Tang. I'm going to talk about these games. So we talked about Hungry Horace. I now want to talk about Horace Goes Skiing because it's awesome. Right, listen. Horace Goes Skiing is interesting because it's not just your normal platformer game. No, it actually has narrative. And that's what's really nice about it. In order to get to the ski slope, you have to cross a road. So what we've got here in 1982 are the very, very early stages of narrative. And that's really exciting to me. Yes, it's ripping off Frogger, but who wasn't ripping off Frogger in 1982? You have to cross this dangerous road to rent out a pair of skis, which cost you an amount of money, and then you have to get back over the road and successfully navigate a ski course. It's not a true sequel, and it doesn't follow on from an original story, and it's only similar, and then it features the same character, Horace. And this title was available on the ZX Spectrum, the Commodore 64, and the Dragon 32. Let's just talk about what happens in the ski slope. This is when it becomes platformy. This is when it still follows the same gameplay experience as crossing the road as cloned from Frogger. But actually, you're downhill skiing, you're doing the slalom, and you've got obstacles that you have to avoid, which are pine trees that are sticking up out of the ground, and you've got slalom, I don't know what you call them. I want to call them goalposts that you have to go through. I guess you just call them spikes, and that you've got to go through in order to score more points. Super amazingly cool. As before, Sinclair distributed the Spectrum version, Melbourne House did the Commodore 64 and Dragon 32 versions. In 2017, this game, Horace Goes Skiing, was placed on Eurogamer's 10 games that defined the ZX Spectrum list. Personally, I would put this on the top 10 most influential games of all time, because the simplicity of this game for a designer speaks volumes about what you need to do to be a good game designer. But in 1983, William Tang did not stop there. No, he came up with something even better, if that's possible. Horace and the Spiders! Horace and the Spiders, wow, what a game. So this is basically Donkey Kong, but with spiders and little Horace. And it was a Horace sprite, you know, from the previous two. I think he's green in this one, and he was green in Horace Goes Skiing, but he's blue in Hungry Horace, unless that's the colour that he's flashing, yeah, in the first one. I thought it was difficult, but then again, I was 10 years old. The first level sees Horace climbing a hill while jumping over spiders. Cool. The second level involves crossing a bridge by swinging on spider threads. Like, take your Uncharted and shove it up your because crossing a bridge while swinging on spider threads was, for a 10-year-old me, possibly the most exciting thing that could happen. And then finally, there's a confrontation with the spiders themselves. But Horace has to create holes by jumping on the web, luring the spiders into the holes to fix them, and then he can subsequently jump on them. Unlike the earlier two titles, this game was only released for the ZX Spectrum. The first stage of this game shared similarities with both Pitfall and the ColecoVision game, Smurf Rescue in Gargamel's Castle. While the third platform stage is essentially a Space Panic clone. True. Horace to the Rescue was announced in 1985, but the game never surfaced, which is really sad. The author, William Tang, apparently suffered a collapsed lung and was unable to continue, so we don't know whether he was still working in the games industry. But what we do know is that he made a comeback in 1995 with a platform-based game, Horace in the Mystic Woods, for the Scion 3 series of Palm Top Computers. Ha, remember them. This is the fourth entry in the Horace series by William Tang, and it's a platform game split into one-screen levels in the style of Manic Miner, and it was coded by Michael Ware of Proteus Developments. It's a Series 3A, 3C and 3MX compatible game. In 2010, someone did a conversion of this game to the ZX Spectrum, and it was released by indie coder Bob Smith, who presumably coded it. Horace didn't just appear in his own games. It's really important to say. He made other appearances, because you have to remember that in the 1980s, the iconic choices that we had within games were really quite limited to whatever genre we were the most interested in. So Dungeons & Dragons, Gary Gygax games, and the animated series of the same name. You're going to see dwarves and elves, and then you've got Frogger, who's a frog, of course, and then in games like Pole Position, you're the driver, so we never really get to see who you are at the arcade level. But Horace was pretty special, and therefore this makes him quite significant. He was a standalone character, presumably of William Tang's design, who is a basic pixelated figure, but that we can see his legs moving and we can see his body moving, and that's what's really important. And so, in the 1987 version of Inspector Gadget and the Circus of Fear, Inspector Gadget has to make his way through several scrolling worlds. In the first of these, he's hindered by Horace's travelling in the opposite direction. If he trips over too many of them, he loses a life. Horace showed up in an Inspector Gadget game. This is amazing. And also, in the PlayStation 2 game Dog's Life, there's a shop called Horace's Ski Shop, and the name is written in a font similar to the one used on the ZX Spectrum, and it's accompanied by a Spectrum Star rainbow pattern. The fact is, William Tang created an unbelievable amount of game designers. He should be very, very happy wherever he is in the world. I wish you were listening, William, because I want to tell you personally that you made me the game designer that I am today. And you can read more about the Horace series in everywhere from Moby Games to spectrumcomputing.co.uk. And there's even retro corner features on the Horace series in a variety of publications from IGN onwards. Also, in the world of Spectrum, there is a rendition of Horace to the Rescue. And don't forget that in the world of Spectrum, you can play some of these games as there are emulators available. So let's give it up for an absolutely amazing game designer who took something very simple, did not try to reinvent the wheel, and gave us what we were all waiting for. A cute little, nondescript, funny shaped dude with big eyes, tiny feet, and little hands. Thank you, William Tang. Until next time, keep making and keep playing.
Thank you for listening. You can tweet Kelly at Electric Geisha. Follow Your Doing It Wrong podcast where all good pods are casted. Email Kelly at doingitwrongpod@gmail.com.